Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello geeks and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Answer Connect, and The Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Okay, geeks, we've got a real treat today. This is a very special episode of Social Geek Radio, recorded live in front of a very large audience at the annual franchise meeting for Big B Coffee, one of my favorite brands in the franchising space. Great coffee, great people, great franchise owner operators, great staff. Love working with these guys. And they asked me to come to their annual conference this year and give a bit of a update on what's happening in social media. So I thought I would share a bunch of things that have changed in Facebook and Instagram recently that are critical to brands and small business owners. So here we are live from Novi, Michigan with Big B Coffee.
And we're not actually live, we're recording this, so if anybody says shit or hell or anything like that, we can edit that out. I'm going to edit that out, don't worry. I'll tell you, a guy I really had to edit was my podcast guest this morning. It's a young new author by the name of Mike McFall. He was terrific. He's going to go places. You guys heard it here first. So give that a listen. It's all over iTunes and Facebook right now, the interview that we had with Mike this morning. So a little bit about myself and Social Joey. We've been working with franchise brands and franchisees and small business owners for about 12 years now in social media. So when I started doing this about 12 years ago, my first two social media channels that I was working with a bunch of franchisees were The Facebook and MySpace. There's a bunch of ladies over here who are like, MySpace, what's that? I've never heard of MySpace. So social media has changed a ton in the past 12 years. It's changed a ton in the past 12 months. How many of you right now are using, let's say, Facebook or Instagram for your stores? Right? Or you're paying somebody else to do that for you. That's good, too. How many are running paid ads on Facebook and Instagram? Right? Okay, good. We're going to talk about five critical changes in social media that have happened in the past year that are greatly affecting your business or will affect your business coming up in the next few months. So the first one I don't think is any big shock. Is Facebook and Instagram and all of these things, they're not free anymore, right? You've got to pay. You've got to advertise. You've got to put some ad spend behind it, or no one's going to see it. Back when I started doing this more than a decade ago, you could put something on your Facebook brand page or your store's Facebook page, and everybody who follows you would see that post, 100% organic reach. It was great. I wish I could go back in time and just do that over and over again. But now, you've got to advertise on Facebook. And really, the key reasons why advertising on Facebook and Instagram right now are still the best money you can spend in marketing is it's very influential, it's really cheap, and you can target anybody you want. So let's take a look at some of the details there. Right now, half of Americans say that Facebook is the number one influencer on their purchasing decisions. That goes from a cup of coffee to buying a new BMW. Half of America says Facebook is the number one influencer of their decisions. Furthermore, 87% of Americans right now say that they've purchased something in the past year because of Facebook. So you don't get any more influential than that. The other 13% are probably lying. But the other reason we love Facebook right now is it's underpriced. It's overvalued and underpriced, meaning right now we can still reach about 1,000 consumers for only 25 cents on Facebook. LinkedIn will cost you almost a dollar. Google ads are getting more expensive by the day. Right now it's about $3 or so and rising. But compare that with things like, you know, television. It costs $7 to reach 1,000 people on television. How many people watch most of their programming on TV on Netflix or Hulu or a streaming service, right? How many people, even when you do watch something on regular television, you skip past the commercials because you're DVRing it, right? So that's why television is getting more and more expensive and no one's seeing the ads anymore. So again, Facebook right now is very underpriced. It's going to get more expensive as more and more businesses discover all of the things that you guys have already discovered and get into the game. But for right now, and we really think for about the next 18 months or so, the prices are still going to be about where they are, maybe a little bit higher. Lastly, the reason why we're so gung-ho on Facebook and Instagram right now is the targeting capabilities. We can reach about 89% of your targeted audience, your customers, or the people who you want to be your customers. We can reach 89% of them between a combination of Facebook and Instagram. Compared that with virtually every other type of advertising out there right now, television, radio, print, outdoor, put it all together and we can reach maybe 39% of your targeted audiences. So again, it comes down to influential, it's cheap, and we can target whoever we want to target. So let's talk about who we want to target. Let's talk about your perfect customer or who you would like to be your perfect customer. So let's say this is her. Let's give her a name. What do we want to call her? I heard Susie. Susie? Okay. Susan? All right. I like Susan. That's a little bit more dignified. So Susan is somewhere between 25 and something. She's a mom of two. She's got two kids in grade school. Her favorite TV shows are, what are her favorite TV shows? Real Housewives. I heard Handmaiden's Tale over here. Is that right? Okay. So we know her favorite TV shows. We know what she talks about on social media. She's divorced. Though, according to Facebook, we know she's in a relationship with a guy named Chad. We also know that she still has some dating apps on her phone, just in case Chad doesn't get his shit together. She likes very complex but sweet things, like Chad. So why don't we serve her up a coupon for something that matches her, something complex and sweet? Why don't we serve that coupon up to everybody who lives in her town who fits that same description? What we're really talking about here is beyond demographic targeting. You know, 10 years ago, we were targeting people by their zip code and their age, and maybe gender, because that's all we knew about people. But in the past 10 years, Facebook has been collecting lots and lots of data on all of us, which is real creepy. But they've been collecting it on all of your potential customers, which is awesome, right? So we're going to use all of that data to find Susan and bring her in on a Friday, have her buy something that's complex and sweet, and maybe she's going to eventually buy one for Chad, too. So that's why the targeting part of Facebook and Instagram is so important right now. The second point that I want to get to with advertising is a lot of people are probably boosting a post, right? You create a Facebook post, and then you go find that big blue boost button, and you hit it, and you give Facebook a bunch of money. I want everybody to stop doing that. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient, it's very ineffective. You're literally throwing money away when you hit the boost post button. If you've got an agency that you're working with and they're boosting posts for you, fire them tomorrow and find somebody who can do it without hitting the boost post button. The boost post is kind of like buying your groceries at 7-Eleven. You're quick, you're in and out, it's easy. I don't have to deal with a lot of stuff. I don't have to think a lot, but boy, did I spend too much money. I probably spent $15 on a pound of coffee and it was lousy, but it didn't take very long. So boosting a post, just remember buying stuff at 7-Eleven. I should mention, before we get to the next section, if people have questions, it's going to be a little hard to shout them out and everything. So if you've got questions, write them down on the cards that Erica's provided for you, and then raise your hand, and she's going to run on out and get the cards and bring them on up. Let's talk a little bit past advertising and go back to the idea of posting organic content. So this is actually posting stuff on Facebook and Instagram. A lot of times at this point, people say, yeah, but what about Twitter? What about Snapchat? What about TikTok? My advice right now is when you get Facebook and Instagram mastered, we'll worry about TikTok and we'll worry about Snapchat and all of those places. Right now, there's so many of your potential customers who are living on Instagram and Facebook that let's take care of them first, and then we'll worry about spending lots of money on things like Snapchat, which is ridiculously expensive still. So, organic content. It will actually help your advertising if you get great engagement on your organic content on your page. We see a lot of brands now that aren't even bothering with posting on Facebook anymore because they know that the reach is nothing and it's just too hard and it takes too much time. So they're just buying ads and that's it. If you get good engagement on your Facebook page and with customers in their own news feed, it will actually help your ads perform better. Here's why. Somebody give me a name of a competitor in your town. Starbucks. I think I've heard of them. If you're running an ad in, let's pick on Tom, Wausau, Wisconsin. If you're running an ad, and I don't know if there's a Starbucks in Wausau or not, but let's say there is, and they're running an ad also aimed at Susan, spending the same amount of money as you, Facebook is going to look at your organic engagement from your Facebook page and say, oh, Bigby in Wausau is really engaging, and they get a lot of comments and a lot of likes and shares. We're going to lift their ads up a little bit more because Starbucks is not going to get into that local engagement game. All they're doing is running posts from a national page and not talking or doing anything in Wausau, Wisconsin. I guarantee you they're not, and they never will. That's the difference between you guys and Starbucks. You guys are local, Starbucks is not, and they will never be. So it takes some time to do organic posting right. It doesn't take a lot of money, that's the good news. It takes some time, but if you do a few things right, you can beat the pants off of Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or anybody else who's never going to be local. So here are some tips on the types of content that Facebook wants us to post organically. They want us to post entertaining or educational items, right? So every post you put on should either be entertaining or educational. This one I hope is a little entertaining, got quite a bit of engagement when we posted it. Does anybody get this reference at all? What did you say?
Duck, duck, goose.
Duck, duck, goose. She's an 80s movie fan. So some of you didn't think that that was too entertaining. Erica did. So Erica liked it and shared it. It doesn't have to be the funniest thing on earth. It doesn't have to be
wild and crazy, but just fun, engaging things that will entertain someone. Not only makes your customers happy, but it makes the Facebook gods very happy when you share that kind of stuff. Even more important for some of our clients, I think you guys can get away with being entertaining a lot more than some of my healthcare clients can. For a lot of our clients, we stick a little bit further on the educational side. This is an actual post for one of my clients. It's a franchise system called American Family Care. They're a franchise system of urgent care centers. And they do a lot of posting from each of their franchisees' locations that is very health-oriented. This one was something back in May about National Stroke Awareness Month back in May. It was from a national website called Pop Sugar. So it was informative. It was educational. It had nothing to do with American Family Care. It's not branded. This is just an article that we shared onto that page, and then many people in that community shared it as well. So we get a lot of pushback from some big chief marketing officer types who say, wait a second, you're sharing all of this stuff on our franchisees' pages, but it's not branded. There's no logo on it. Right. You don't have to have everything branded and promotional, because if you do, Facebook's going to slap your hand if you try to promote constantly. What we like to do for our clients is post 5 days a week on Facebook. Typically something local, and we're going to get to that in just a second, maybe something entertaining, maybe a couple of things educational or informative, and then on the fifth day, we're going to hit them with an ask, and we're going to ask them to come in and buy something. So we subscribe to that strategy of help, 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 ask, and sell. So about 80% of the content that we're putting on these Facebook pages is not branded, and it's not promotional, and it's not selling anything, but it's great for the community. Your fans will like it. Facebook will really like it. Another type of content that we recommend sharing, and this is something I can't do for you, and even the corporate marketing team can't do for you, only you and your staff out in the stores can do, and that's share videos. Videos get great reach organically on Facebook still. If you share a video, many, many, many of your fans, a very high percentage, are going to see it. The videos that we recommend doing the most are some kind of fun behind the scenes type stuff. Maybe it's your staff getting ready to open the store. Maybe it's your staff doing something before they go out on the weekend. Maybe it's your staff getting ready for a community event that you're going to do. That's the kind of stuff that your fans and your customers like to see. And there's no better way to really show that your stores have a personality and that there's cool people working there than to do a quick video. You don't have to bring in a big video cam. Just pull your phone out, do a Facebook Live video, do an Instagram video, and you're good to go. Next thing is we want you to post local content. So if you're in Wausau, Wisconsin, you're going to post very different things than if you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that'll be very different than if you were in South Carolina. What we're posting right now is typically curated news, community event type stuff that's happening in that market. Again, this is the stuff that Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts are never going to do. They're never going to do good local content. So we're not rewriting the world. We're not creating local content for everybody and writing a big blog post for them every day. What we're really doing is scouring the local news, looking for good items in that particular town and sharing it on that Facebook page. I think this is something that would work really well for you guys to do, and I'm guessing a lot of you already do this, sharing what's happening in town, what's going on this weekend. Is there an art fair this Saturday? Is, the circus is coming to town in 2 weeks. who's the high school team playing on opening night, you know, coming up in a few Fridays. That's the kind of stuff that I'd love to see all of you sharing on your Facebook page. This is one of my favorite posts I've ever seen, and you might look at this and say, that's kind of boring, it's not that exciting, but it's a local, very, very local post, and if you can't read it from there, I'll read it out for you. This is from the AFC Urgent Care in Cleveland, Tennessee. Not Cleveland, Ohio, Cleveland, Tennessee, very small town. And it's a link to a newspaper article from the local newspaper, probably a weekly, about this group of kids from Bradley Central High School making a big donation for the local Humane Society. This has everything I love about local Facebook stuff for a local community. It's got kids doing a good thing. It's got dogs and cats, right? Because they're giving it to the Humane Society. And most importantly, it's got a link to the local newspaper. Facebook loves it right now when a local business shares what Facebook considers real local news. It's part of their fighting the whole fake news bit, right? They want you to share local community items, not promotional stuff, but what's going on in town. The other reason I love this post is look at all of these smiling kids. Each one of those kids probably has a mom, a dad, an aunt, a sister, a neighbor, grandma, whoever, who's going to see that show up in their newsfeed, and they're going to share it again. I also notice of this entire National Honor Society in Cleveland, Tennessee, there's like two boys in that whole picture. So the guy's got to step it up there, I think. But this is the kind of stuff that you really want to share. And I think whether it's local school stuff, local business stuff, local community events, anything that kind of has that same feeling of your own culture, you need to share that stuff, because when you share it and then they share it, you will get credit for it, right? Your name of your store is going to be at the top of that post when all of those moms and aunts and grandmas share it out to other people. The last tip I'm going to give you, and then we'll go for questions. So start writing them down, and Erica is going to run around and pick up questions. The last tip I'm going to give you, I may actually turn the podcast off for this, because this is something we don't really talk about publicly. We rarely talk about it with a group this big, but I'm going to give this to you anyway. We never write about it. We never publish about it. This is a secret that I don't want my competitors to learn, and I really don't want your competitors to learn. And the secret is, I'm going to tell you right now to not share other content. And I'm using air quotes here, right, with the word share. I want you to share other businesses and publishers' content, but I don't want you to use that share button, right? So that's, again, it's kind of like boosting a post. It's easy just to go there and hit share, and now it's going to show up on your Facebook page. But it's much better for your page to go to that website, go to that article's website, take the 2 minutes, copy that link, and then make a new post out of it. In this case, this was a article called Navigating Your Way Through Facebook's Most Recent Changes. Sounds familiar. Written by Jack Munson. That guy sounds familiar too. So take that, copy the link, and share it as an original post. You will get much more reach out of that post. And here's some proof. I did this a couple of months ago. This was a post from the International Franchise Association promoting their upcoming franchise development workshop in Minneapolis and New Orleans. So I shared their post on Facebook on my own business page. And we got a whopping 39 people that saw this post. And out of those 39 people, two people engaged with it. No one liked it, no one shared it, no one commented. So two people just clicked on it, and that was it. Two people. Not even worth the time of me sharing that when two people saw it. And I did it at a pretty good time of day, too. What was that, like 2:45 p.m.? Should have been prime time, almost. So the next morning, I went to that article, and I grabbed the link, and I created a new post. Took me all of 90 seconds, probably. And I put it on my page as an original article, which also allowed me to write a little text at the beginning of it. The difference there is by the end of the week, 353 people were reached by this article. 37 people engaged with it. They clicked on it, they shared it, they commented, they liked it, whatever. So just that little bit of a difference in sharing a link versus using the Facebook share button, I got more than 10 times the reach out of that same article. So the reason I'm asking you to not tell your competitors about this, or not even tell anybody else about this, but use it for yourself, is because we want other people to share our stuff using the big easy share button, right? So we don't want anybody else out there to start doing this, but we're going to start doing this method. So again, don't tell your competitors. Please don't tell my competitors. This is going to be our little secret. And I'm going to edit that out of the podcast too. So we wanted to save plenty of time today for questions that anybody has and just start throwing them at me as far as anything social media-wise. We've mostly talked about Facebook and Instagram so far today, but if you've got questions on other platforms, other channels, feel free. Erica, do we have any hands raised yet? Okay, there we go. They're all in the back, of course.
Two questions.
Yes. I'm sorry, your name?
Mike.
Okay. Where are you from, Mike?
Well, I thought you were saying that you shouldn't brand 1 in 6 posts using Facebook. Mm-hmm.
About 1 in 5 we typically brand. So about 4 times a week, we're doing unbranded local posts, which are typically sharing news items, sharing links to other websites, that kind of thing.
How often should a business like ours be posted?
That's a great question. That's probably the number one question I get. We recommend once a day, 5 days a week. I would go as high as twice a day if you can. If you've got the resources, I'd love to do 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. But before you get there, let's start with trying to get to 5 times a week. If you can get there, you're going to win. Back to Mike's question, though, about 4 of those 5 per week are only going to be non-branded pieces of content. And a lot of people still say, wow, that's our brand isn't getting out there. Remember, while we're doing that, we're also going to be running paid ads. And that's all branded. That's nothing but being branded. So, all right, we've got some questions here. When is the best time of day to post? Probably the second biggest question that I get. Right now, the best time of day is between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. local time. The reason is, especially if we're trying to reach Susan, who's got those 2 kids in grade school, guess what she does every day between 3 and 5? She's sitting in her car outside of the grade school. What is she doing in her car? She's not reading a newspaper, right? She's not listening to talk radio. She's looking at her phone. And that's the number one place where we can get people who are still at their office, but most likely they're picking up kids or they're starting their commute or something between 3 and 5.
Does it matter?
No, great question. It doesn't. If you're using some sort of scheduler or software or something like that, as long as it's something that that Facebook hasn't, you know, kind of blacklisted, because they'll do that with some software once in a while, if it's somebody that is a good partner of Facebook, you can absolutely schedule it, and we highly recommend that, too. How many posts is too many? I don't worry about that so much anymore because organic posts are down to, even if you're doing everything right, you're probably going to reach maybe 25% or so of your audience. So even if you posted, you know, 4 or 5 times in a day, your typical customer is only going to see 1 or maybe 2 of those posts. So since not everybody is seeing everything constantly, I wouldn't worry about doing more. You know, you could do 4 or 5 and it's not going to hurt you. I probably wouldn't bother doing more than that because at some point there's some diminished returns on, okay, how much time am I spending posting all of these things? So I would say maybe max do 4 or 5. Here we go. How do you handle negative Facebook content? Hide, delete, respond, or comment? Hide, probably not. Delete, only if there's some hate speech or something like that involved. And if you ever delete a customer's comment, the best thing you can do is make your own comment saying, by the way, everybody, we just deleted a comment because we found it to be very hateful and we don't want that as part of our community. So what you will defend against there is somebody going around saying, hey, they keep deleting my comments. But if you call them out for being some sort of hate speech or something like that, then it pretty much stops the argument. Respond, absolutely. If you've got a customer that's got a complaint or anything negative, respond one time. Don't get into an argument. Don't get down in the mud with them. Respond one time. Try to take that call or that conversation offline. Get them on the phone. Tell them to come in so we can resolve it, or call me. Here's my cell phone number. Go ahead and tell them that kind of stuff just to get the conversation offline and in private. All right, what else do we have? More on comments. A lot of people want comments. Could we elaborate a little bit more on the non-boosting? Sure. The boost button that I was showing you before appears next to any Facebook post that a brand or company page makes. And you can hit that button and automatically say, I want to put $10 or $100 or whatever we want to do. It makes it nice and easy. But what I'm saying to do, instead of hitting that boost button, go into your ad manager, which is part of your Facebook page, and just create an ad from scratch. Make it look just like that cool post that you just made if you want. Use the same artwork, use the same text, the same link, whatever you want to do. But make it from an actual ad that will run in the news feed, not just a boosted post. There's some magic in the algorithm right now where Facebook is optimizing those ads that you create much better than what they're doing with the boosted posts. So you'll spend a lot more money on a boosted post than you will on a regular ad to reach the same number of people. Best practices for targeting Facebook ads. Great question. Think about who that customer is that you want to reach. And we've been talking about Susan here for the past few minutes. So think about her. What's her lifestyle? What are her activities? Is she into sports? Does she go to concerts and things like that? Think of who your customers are, and all of those activities now can be found in the Facebook targeting area. So you might want to think about targeting more than one group of people. You might want to target her for some special drink thing. You might want to target a group of you know, other local business owners or office managers when you're trying to promote, you know, something like, you know, coffee for your next morning meeting, or bringing people in for holiday coffee next Tuesday morning or something like that. Think about who would be making that decision to bring people into the store. Is it a mom of two? Is it an office manager? Is it, you know, a group of retirees, right? You want to target those people differently because they all have different lifestyles and different activities on Facebook. And in that activity section is where I think you can really reach people who would be interested in coming in. Tagging, is it effective or just annoying? I love that. It is effective to a point. If we're talking about tagging on Facebook, I think it can get pretty ineffective quickly if you have just too many tags and you're tagging all of these other businesses and things like that. It kind of gets lost. You'll be surprised when we talk about hashtagging. This is especially for Instagram. The most effective number of hashtags on Instagram right now, and this kind of makes me roll my eyes, the best posts on Instagram have 11 hashtags. Ugh. I mean, I hate it too. It's like it's nothing but pound signs, right? But when you're talking about hashtags, remember this. Those are things that people are searching. So if you're, so you want to have hashtag, you know, coffee and hashtag latte or whatever. So you can't just have one or two hashtags because you're really going to cut down on the number of things that people could be searching for and finding you. So I agree, it's annoying to see that many hashtags, but I would do 10 or a dozen hashtags if possible. Let's see, here we go. Let's talk about using specific hashtags, but it might hurt or not make a difference. Yeah, I think I wouldn't overthink the hashtag stuff too much. Just put a bunch of them on there, you know, your best products, your best services, or other, you know, kind of fun theme things, whether it's Veterans Day or Father's Day or something like that. Throw those hashtags on, bite the bullet. It's annoying, but put them on. And even if it's something that's kind of irrelevant, I think we're all getting so numb to these tags that no one's really looking at those tags. They just kind of look past them, but they're there and they're going to help your Instagram searching. Oh, this is a great one for you guys. Is the new offer button a good option? Yes, yes, yes. For all of our restaurant customers, and that includes everybody from pizza places that we work with to brew pubs to some specialty retail, the offers on Facebook are probably the best way to drive traffic in the door. For our clients that are trying to do other things like drive people to a website to register for stuff or set up an appointment or something like that, they don't, you know, you don't really want to do that. But for retail and restaurant type establishments, the offers are the best way to get your current promotion in front of somebody else's eyeballs and get them to come in to check it out. Erica, we have like 1 minute left. Are there any questions what do you think is the next upcoming social media platform? Somebody mentioned TikTok earlier, and it's kind of like the butt of every joke right now at these conferences because it's mostly used by 12-year-olds. But those 12-year-olds are going to be 18 before you know it. And their moms are already starting to check it out and using it. So I would keep my eye on it mostly because it's video-based, and from everything we see, video will be the next step for every social channel. So, and also, who knows? Facebook could buy it in 2 weeks, and now we're going to have to deal with it, right? So, anyway, I think we're out of time. They're going to kick us out of here, but I want to thank everybody for all the great questions.
Thanks again to the folks at Big B Coffee for hosting me at their annual franchise meeting. Had a blast working with you guys, and I hope everybody listening got maybe a few tips or a few new ideas on some things that you could do for your business on Facebook and Instagram. And this part of Social Geek Radio is sponsored by Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers reaching a live person every time they call and never getting voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, and appointments scheduled. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Thanks again for joining Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.